We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, and reveals the deeper meaning of priestly garments and God's call for his people to worship according to his plan. Pastor Jeff will get started in just a moment, but first, we want to tell you that you can find many more resources to help you grow in your walk at PastorJeff.com. That's also where you can sign up for weekly email devotions from Pastor Jeff. Visit PastorJeff.com today to sign up for encouragement right in your inbox. Now here's today's program.
So that's how the ephod was attached, this garment that hung in front and back with these two onyx stones. Now we're going to talk about the breast piece. Notice what he says in verse 15. He says, you shall make a breast piece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman, like the work of an ephod you shall make it, of gold, of blue, of purple. Can you guess what next color is? It's scarlet. Just seeing if you're paying attention. And fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be square and folded double, a span in length and a span in width. You shall mount it on four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. The second row, a row of turquoise and sapphire and a diamond. And the third row, a row of jacinth and agate and amethyst. And on the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. The stones shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names. They shall be like the engravings of a seal, each according to his name for the 12 tribes. So not only are we going to have the names of all the 12 tribes on the shoulder, guess what we're going to have? Right on this breastplate, we're going to have 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel right over the heart of the high priest. Why? Because the high priest would carry the names of all Israel on his heart. When Jesus Christ came, what did he carry on his heart? He carried the names of all the people. I mean, you've heard it said, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he had your name on his mind, right? He carried that. So everywhere the priest went, there was no mistake that he was ministering to God, but who was he ministering on behalf of? He was ministering on behalf of all the people of Israel. Who was he ministering to? Who was he mediating for? He was mediating to God on behalf of all the people, right? That's what he was doing. And we see this, and it wasn't just, yeah, pick up some stones somewhere, make them representative. I mean, these were special jewels. Even if you go fast forward and you read through the book of Revelation, you see all the different stones and you see all these different things. Why? It's representative of how much God cares about his people. You say, well, what's my takeaway? God cares about you. God thinks about you. God loved you so much, he sent his only son in the world to be a sacrifice for you. That's who our God is. Now notice what he says about this in verse 23 or 22. You shall make on the breastpiece chains of twisted cordage work in pure gold. You shall make on the breastpiece two rings of gold, and you shall put two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the two cords of gold on the two rings at the end of the breastpiece. You shall put the other two ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings and put them on shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. You shall make two gold rings and shall place them on the two ends of the breastpiece on the edge of it, which is toward the inner side of the ephod. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod on the front of it, close to the place where it is joined above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastpiece and the rings of the ephod with the blue cord, so that it'll be skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breast piece will not come loose from the ephod. Now, tell me this. How many of you, if that was your Bible study this morning, would read the whole thing? I mean, we just scan, like, why so many words? Tell them to put on an ephod, for heaven's sakes. Tell them to put on a breast piece with 12. Why so much detail? Because God is so detailed, because God cares about everybody. And God wants to make sure that the high priest knows and that the people of Israel know, when you put it on, it's going to stay there. It's going to be fastened there. It's not going anywhere. There's a permanence to it. In the New Testament, you know what your great high priest said? That when you believe in him, no one will be able to snatch you out of his Father's hand. You know what he says? no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. It means when you repent by faith and believe in Jesus and you're growing with him, nobody can take you away from him. Why? Because it's permanent. His love for his people is permanent. You can't lose his love. Is that good news or what? That's what he was foreshadowing here. That's what he was telling us about. That's why when we read this, we have to read looking back through the lens of our great high priest, through the lens of the cross, through the lens of Jesus. Otherwise, we're going to read this and we'll say, well, I'm not very skilled at this kind of stuff, and I don't understand what a difference between an ephod and a breastpiece is, and what difference does it make? You may not understand that. And chances are, you may never go back and study Exodus 28 and 29 again. I get it. But I want you to see from this how holy our God is and how much he cares about you. That's what's important here. That's what he's showing us. Notice what he says to Aaron, or to Moses about Aaron. He says in verse 29, he says, Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. When Aaron goes in to minister, what's going to be over his heart? All the names of his people. For how long? Every single time he ministers. Well, what's our great high priest doing today? You remember in the book of Hebrews, when we studied the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, here's what Jesus is doing right now. It says this, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you know what Jesus Christ was doing last night when you went to bed? He was interceding for you. You know what he was doing when you woke up and got ready to come to church this morning? He was interceding for you. Do you know what he's doing right now? While you're listening to this message, he's interceding for you. Why? Because your name's on his heart. Because he created you and he loves you. And if you don't know him, he's praying that you would repent and trust him. And if you do know him, you belong to him. And he's praying that you'll hear him and continue to take steps of faith in your journey with him. That's our great high priest. That's what Aaron was representing. Continually bringing the names of the people on his heart before the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 30. In verse 30, he says, you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgments of the sons of Israel over his heart continually. Now, Urim and Thummim mean light and perfections. That's what it means. Nobody knows what the Urim and Thummim was. We know it gave God's judgment on things. In other words, if God was going to say, I want you to go in this war, I don't want you to go in this war. If God was going to give special revelation that he hadn't given them already, the high priest would inquire using the Urim and the Thummim. Nobody knows what it is. I mean, we don't know if it was just a couple stones. Did they light up? I mean, when I read this, I think about back when I was a kid, they had that magic eight ball and you ask it questions and shake it up. And then it would turn and be like, not necessarily so or whatever, you know. Nobody knows. What we do know is that God allowed the high priest to use these two stones for times when they were inquiring of the Lord because they didn't know what to do. Now, you might say, where do I find those? Here's where. How many have been in a situation this week where you just don't know what to do? All right? One of you. That's great. You felt lonely when you raised your hand, didn't you? The good news is we have a great high priest that we can go to. When something is not directly written in the Bible, marry this person and it gives them their name. Or take this job and it gives the name of the company. Where do we go? We can inquire of the Lord. And God, through his word, through another person that can come alongside, through wisdom, through revelation, through speaking to your spirit, can give you the confidence to take the step or not take the step. We have a great high priest. We don't need the Urim and the Thummim anymore. You'll read about it in the Old Testament with Samuel and others that are inquiring of the Lord. And the high priest is the one that's going before the Lord. Why? Because it's what God says that's important and not what the world says. Today, nothing has changed. We go through Jesus as our great mediator when we're trying to get answers to things that aren't directly spelled out in Scripture so he can tell us. Yeah, do that. Stop that. Do that, but do it a little bit differently. All those things that we're growing in, we have Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament times, they would go to the great high priest. They would say, we don't know what to do as a nation. We don't know where to go. God hasn't been specific on this. Tell us. And he would use that Urim and the Thummim to do that. Verse 31 says, you shall make the robe. Now we're getting into the robe. You shall make this robe of the ephod all of blue. Make the robe of deity. Isn't it great when you fast forward to the New Testament? What are we robed in? We are robed in the righteousness of Christ. We are robed in Christ's deity, not because of any good thing that we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross in his resurrection from the dead. We don't see the blue robe, but if you trusted in the blood of Jesus, you have that blue robe on you. It says there shall be an opening at its top and in the middle of it, around its opening, there should be a binding of woven work like the opening of a coat of mail so that it will not be torn. It needs to be protected. You shall make on its hem pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material all around its hem and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate all around the hem of the robe. It shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its tinkling shall be heard when he enters and leaves the holy place before the Lord. Notice this, so that he will not die. You say, why do you have pomegranates and bells on? Well, pomegranates represented fruitfulness or God's abundance. For some reason, you can ask God when you get to heaven, why did you have him put pomegranates on it? And God will tell you, right? But it represented God's faithfulness, his fruitfulness, his abundance. But the bells were to represent the fact that we knew where the high priest was ministering.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, revealing the deeper meaning of priestly garments and God's call for his people to worship according to his plan. We'll return to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But before we do, we want to help you develop the habit of daily prayer and scripture reading by sending you the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which includes daily Bible readings, prayer prompts, and space to journal your prayers. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy, simply go to PastorJeff.com and give a gift to keep teachings like this one today going strong through Brave Media. Again, that's PastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to today's teaching.
Now, God's holy presence is so holy, you can't be cavalier about just cruising in. So there were bells on the high priest so that when he went in, the tinkling sound of the bells would know, let God know, I'm approaching. Now, question for you. Did God need to hear the bells to know that the high priest was approaching? No, it was symbolic of how holy he was and what was necessary for him to get in. Also, if the high priest approached in a manner that was unworthy and died while he was there, people would know, I'm not hearing any bells. We better pull him out. He's dead, right? God gave him bells because he said, my presence is so holy, you can't just cavalier walk in it. You can't just come into my presence. There has to be atonement for sin. You can't just come. I got to know you're coming. There's a way in, and the way in is my way. Now, here's the problem. We live in a culture where people make up gods in their own image all the time, and here's what they'll say. Your God's so exclusive. He's so mean. He's so all these things. My God would let anybody come in. That's because your God is no God at all, because he's not holy. The God of the Bible is so holy and so righteous and so good. The only access we have is through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. So all of these things on the robe were reminders of and foreshadowing to how holy our God is. Friends, listen, Jesus said in John 15, I have called you friends. If you've repented and trusted in the Lord, you are his friend. Make no mistake about that. But also make no mistake about the fact that your friend is the holy God of the universe, and he needs to be approached as such. Because I find sometimes we get so cavalier and, well, I know I'm forgiven anyway. Well, it's no big deal. Well, it's no big deal. It's such a big deal that priests would give their life if they didn't approach correctly. It was such a big deal that Jesus Christ had to give his life so that we could approach. So when we approach God, we should never be cavalier about it. A price has been paid with blood so that we can approach the holiness of God. And that's what the robe was representing. That's what the pomegranates and the bells were representing. Verse 36, he's going to talk about what's going to go on this turban now. He says, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. You shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. What's God going to have? He's going to have this gold bar on his turban, holy unto the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Why? Because sin is so pervasive. The Bible says even our best works are like filthy rags. Even if you say, man, this week I killed it for Jesus. I was awesome this week. You're still sick in your sin. And yeah, you're a saint. And yeah, God sees you as righteous and he sees you as good. But on our own, we're never going to arrive there. And we need to be reminded that God is holy. And so when the high priest ministered, he always had that bar of gold right on his forehead as a reminder to him, holy is the God that I'm serving. What do we need? You need a reminder written on your forehead too. Now, you don't need to write it. You can just remember it. But that everywhere you go, the thoughts that you think and the things that you look at and how you operate your hands and what you taste and touch, holy unto the Lord. Our God is holy. He's righteous. He's good. He's different than me. His expectations are higher than what I can bring. And while I don't deserve to be in his presence, thank you, Jesus, for making the way for me to be in. And I want to honor you as holy. That's what he was saying. That was the point of the turban or the hat that he was wearing. He says, you shall fasten it, et cetera. Verse 39 says, you shall weave the tunic of checkered work of fine linen, and shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash, the work of a weaver. Tunic's just a loose garment. It was like a short coat that reached down to your knees. He says, for Aaron's son, you shall make the tunic. You shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them for glory and for beauty. All of the stuff that God is doing is for glory and beauty. For who? It's not so that the priest would flaunt his clothing and say, look at me. I'm glorious and beautiful. God was dressing him in such a way so that the people would know that our God is glorious and our God is beautiful, right? It wasn't to draw attention to the high priest. It was to draw attention to our great God. Do you see that? That's what he told him to do. He even goes so far as to tell him how he should dress in his undergarments. Notice this, verse 42. You shall make them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh, that they shall reach from the loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and his sons when they enter the tent of meeting or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. God is saying, hey, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm good. You need to dress in a pure fashion. The only thing that you will see bare in this entire section are the feet of the priests. Everything else is covered. And the reason the feet stay bare is why? Because they're standing on holy ground. That's it. So he's telling them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, including their undergarments, here's how you need to come before me. Why? Because everything needs to be covered correctly. Everything needs to reflect my glory. When Jesus Christ came, did he wear a turban? He wore a crown of thorns on his head. When Jesus Christ came, he was covered all over, but he was covered in scars and he was covered in bruises. And the great high priest was sacrificed on a cross so that 3 days later he could get up out of the dead and he could minister and be our mediator, the one true God of the universe. That's what these clothing represent. That's what these colors represent. It was that one day the Messiah is coming. There'll be no more need for a high priest because what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he just did everything that the high priest was modeling for the nation. Jesus Christ accomplished. Once and for all. Amen? And this is what we see here. And we see how Jesus Christ is our representative. He demonstrates God's heart. He demonstrates God's direction. We know through Christ how God feels about the world. We know through Christ how he loves the world. And he demonstrated that by dying on the cross. We know direction from Jesus by reading his word of what he expects from us. And that's what he wanted us to see today. That we're his ambassadors, we're his representatives, as though Jesus were making his appeal through us. And because Jesus is our great high priest, we're representatives of him. Why? Because in the New Testament, we don't have the temple anymore. We don't have the tabernacle anymore. What do we have? If you've trusted Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's the one ministering all these things through you. And if you're listening to this today, say, thank goodness, I don't have to live like that. I don't have to be that kind of holy priest, set apart and all these kind of things. No, you do, because this is what Jesus Christ modeled for you and represented for you. Amen? Jesus Christ is our minister. He's our mediator. We see his heart. We see his direction. As we get into chapter 29, notice this. God chose priests to be consecrated servants. Without any distractions. God chose his priests to be consecrated servants without any distractions. It means he wanted them solo focused on him. Notice chapter 29, verse 1. Now, this is what the Lord shall do to them to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and you shall make them with wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket, and you shall present the basket along with the bull and two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. In other words, before they put on the garments, ceremonially they need to be clean too. I mean, we're going through this ritual to demonstrate how pure you need to be in the presence of God. Verse 5, you shall then take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set a turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Now, what is this anointing oil for? So anointing oil is how God's going to have the minister. In the Old Testament, the oil oftentimes represents the Holy Spirit and his ministry. And we know that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to magnify the resurrected Christ. This oil is a symbol of pouring this over this minister's life so that he magnifies the resurrected Christ even better. Verse 8. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. What does God want? Consecrated servants to God without any distraction. Consecrated means to be set apart. It means to be holy. It means to be unlike any other. And you might say, well, praise God, I'm not called to the ministry. Well, let me tell you what the New Testament tells you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Living sacrifice seems like an oxymoron, right? If you're a sacrifice, you're dead. All sacrifices die. He says, be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means when you come to Christ, you die to you, and you allow Christ to live through you. So you've made a choice to die. That's why Paul says, I've already been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I've already died. As a Christian, spiritually, because you are dead in your sins, when you trust Christ, you've already died to sin and you've been raised to life with Christ. You've been seated in the heavenly places. And what does God want from you? He wants your life to reflect him wholeheartedly. Whether you're called to serve in a local church or outside the local church, there are myriads of occupations that you can serve and give God glory 24/7. Myriads. It just means in whatever your occupation is or whatever your season of life is that you're in, that you may only be in for a couple of months or a couple of years, in that season, how do you glorify God with everything you have right now? And if you were to say, I can't glorify God in the job I'm doing right now, here's what God would tell you. Then quit your job and go find one that you can. Because God wants your whole service. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God wants your wholehearted allegiance. In the same way priests, high priests and priests were ordained in the Old Testament to be set apart completely for God, that's what he's calling us to be. The high priest didn't have, Saturdays I'll go into the tabernacle, I'll go into the temple, I'll serve God, but Monday through Friday I'm gonna be a football coach, or Monday through Friday I'm gonna do some paralegal work. No, you're set apart to do this. What are you set apart to do? You're set apart for the gospel of God. You're set apart to share the good news. You're set apart to go into all the world and teach the gospel. That's what you're set apart to do. And you can do it in a myriad of settings. It doesn't mean that you're called to church in the sense of taking a paycheck from the church, but all of us are called to Christ himself, and all of us are in the body of Christ, and all of us are called to serve him to the full. Amen?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, revealing the deeper meaning of priestly garments and God's call for his people to worship according to his plan. Before we let you go, be sure to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which helps you make prayer a priority in your life this year. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy when you give today, go to PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, remember to sign up for email updates from Brave so you never miss new resources designed to equip you for courageous living. That's PastorJeff.com. Thank you for joining us today.